My name is Daniel. I'm from the Better Office team in Germany, and the focus of this session is to show you how to work with ASP.NET, especially with databases behind, independent from the databases. You can transform it very easily to Interbase, to Firebird, to Oracle, to Microsoft SQL Server, whatever you like. The focus is first understanding the base of ASP.NET, how works ASP.NET, to understand the techniques, what is behind, instead of other web developing tool like PHP or intraweb or whatever. What are the benefits? What are the parts you must be careful about it? Then I want to show how ADO.NET is working. ADO.NET works every time with a command or a connection and a data adapter, command builder objects over the all different providers, what's on the market, what's behind there, the curtain, and then different techniques, how to build up a database web application with different styles. For example, I've written a source code producer for Interbase and Firebird, then how works with UML, what you can do, and also with the ECO3 stuff. There's a new technique, it calls ECO Auto ASP.NET Form, where coming in an automatic way from your UML diagram or from your database design makes completely your web pages. That's a German delegation, every time late. Okay. Yeah, you're Dutch, sorry. Okay, that's the part where we want to go. Okay, this is, now I show you some, not all this stuff, this is a big slideshow where I'm using in my trainings and so on. Now we see some parts from it. First, introduction ASP.NET, then the web forms, what is the web form, and the web application to understand the base. And then we go to the ADO.NET database. First, the best is show a simple example. This is Delphi 2006. Is everybody working with Delphi? Okay, a good new feature and a new good message is Delphi 2006 is double-speeded now instead of Delphi 2005. It's a complete new memory manager inside. It's called FastMem. And if you switch between the different projects, between the designer and the code, it's high-speeded now. You can see where I'm working. What I do now is an ASP.NET web application for .NET, not for C#. Also included now a C++ builder. And this web application, if you work during developing with the ASP.NET application, use not the IIS server, use the Cassini web server. It's a free web server. Go to Google, type in Cassini, download, the second hit is it, because you have not this massive attack web server. You use the web server, the IIS over the GoMono project, the Apache server, later for deployment. You have, since Delphi 2005, an automatic deployment manager inside, so it's very easy to deploy. But during developing, use a Cassini web server. It comes with Delphi in automatic way also. It's in the Delphi root folder is a Cassini folder, and you have only to say in your tools options for default in the ASP.NET node, I work default with a Cassini web server, and but you can also do it again, a new web application, you can say, okay, I go to the IIS or the Cassini web server. So later, with the deployment manager, put it away. So my standard Hello World program is I take a button, I take a text box, and I take a list box. And with the list box, come on, I say here on the button, I make a bigger font, I think it's better. Options. Editor display, so it's better to read. I say my list box dot items dot add my text box one dot text. And what I do now is compile. The just in time compiler, the JIT compiler is coming now. This is the first when the application is started. You have this IL code, intermediate language, and the just-in-time compiler is compiling. And if you not change anything, the second connect to a web application, go over the correct over the compiled. You have not recompiled again. And you have now this blah blah blah. Interesting is who didn't know this, ASP.NET runs over the FCL, runs completely in Unicode, and if you have this, for example, I work for also in some Arabic projects, and you say you have this. I didn't know what it is. It works also with Unicode in an automatic way. If you have a database behind, make your character fields with the characters at Unicode, and then you have not the problems with different languages. So this is very simple to show, a simple demo for a web application. So we go now, there are some stuff about what is ASP.NET, some main topic things. It's enhancements your performance. It's runs also over the common language runtime, which each developing system, which is a .NET language, must work with it. You have all the benefits. It's a typical WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get tool. You have a HTML designer. Okay, if you need extreme professional websites, I would prefer to work also for design with Macromedia Dreamweaver, especially this, because they have these ASP.NET components for the web design. You can put a button and edit in a list box, give you this ASPX file, and you have only to open it, make a double click, and code your code inside. Or all the other tools like Code Hot Metal Pro or Adobe Go Live, I think is the name, have not these components. They're only showing a tag and nothing else, and it's not good to see in a WYSIWYG. Performance is great for ASP.NET because you can clustering in an automatic way, multi-processoring in an automatic way. It's standard in the framework. You have nothing to change in your code, only in the web config file. It's one of the most important files. Each ASP.NET application needs this file. And you can say over where my session or application variables are stored, and you go to for example, a session service. It's called in the services. You can run on one machine, and each CPU and each clustered server go to this service, and all the variables are stored there. There's also possible to put it on a database, but only in the Microsoft SQL Server. You can cluster it also, and now you have a 24/7, 360 days application. And if a CPU or a machine is crashing, it runs over the other machine with auto balancing. Easy configuration, scaling, I talked about it. Security is also interesting for decisions, because you can include your own security model. You can include the, if you're running over IIS, the Windows security, that the admin can say, I have a user group, it calls web users, and the user A, B, C, D is included in this user group. You can say, okay, to my application, this user group have access, and that's all. And the admin can decide which user can go to your application. It's a cool trick to include the admins. What is a web form? One of the most important thing is, if you create an ASP.NET application, you get a file, a default file. It's called webform1.aspx. That's the design, the HTML stuff. And the HTML language is a subset of ASPX. So whatever you can do in HTML, you can do it in your ASP.NET application. What you can do is take your standard HTML content, rename the files in ASPX, include in your project, compile, and it runs. And now you can include, insert your web controls, your ASPX button, who calls a database and runs a command, and enhance your standard websites. You can do what, like, including JavaScript or whatever of scripting language. That's one, for me, of great technique. Now we go to application. There are some important namespaces for ASP.NET application. It's system.web, that's the main namespace. System web caching, that's for caching sites, for caching requests. web configuration, that you have access to your configuration files and so on. Hosting, mail, mail is for web mailing, session state, the different designers. Then you have the web controls, which go back to the server, like your standard button or whatever, but also the HTML controls, because HTML is a subset of ASPX. And with system web security, you can include different security layers, whatever you like to do. Each application has some standard files. It's very important, it's a global. The global SX and the global pass is a file here you have in your pass file or with the C# project, the CS file. The main events, application start, application end, session start, session end, so you can include, for example, in a session start event, an application variable, it's called user count, incremented by session end minus one. And though you have, for example, an application variable, which is counting up and down or whatever, or you can create the connection pool or whatever you like. You have all the complete access, although the begin request, end request, authentication request, that's the main module of your application. Then you have one file, it's called webconfig. It's an XML file. That's for configuration of the application. For example, the security model, or it's a Windows, it's a passport, or it's a form authentication for your own, or it's a non-authentication for a web shop. And you can say if you have tracing, this is to control if you make a multi-CPU or clustering server, you can say, or what's your standard globalization character set. And you can also store there some important variables outside the compiled code, for example, a database connection string. The tag is called app settings. You make here a tag called app settings, then you say, okay, I make a new key, my database connection string with a value, blah, 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 blah. And you go in your application, okay, I read now from system.configuration that the method give me the app settings value of the key, my database configuration. And then it's go back. And if you change, because this XML file, it's not included in the compile, so you can change on the run. And you have not to restart your web server. Though it's the main thing. The web form, it's a standard form, which comes with a, like a Delphi Win32 application, you get a web form, a normal form, that's a web form. You have this Pascal file, hello. Ooh. Okay. You have a Pascal file to include your code. You have a designer, that's a two-way tool, two-way designer. It's only designing the ASPX file. New also is in Delphi 2006, you have now included a completely code insight over the HTML and ASPX syntax. You can say, okay, I need, for example, an ASP.NET button with the ID button 2, and it's run at server, and so we close again. Finish, go to the designer, and you have also the second button there. Okay, I can delete it. And the final thing is you have an DLL, an assembly, which is in the bin folder of your application. That's a compiled application all together, which is running then in your web server. How does it work? If you have a request from an ASP.NET application, for example, this example with a button edit list box, and you go now, you plug in your server on the internet or intranet, and you start your server the first time, and the first browser is coming to your server, he's going to www.abc.de. The server is working with a web form because you call it webform1.aspx. It's looking in the web config. Is you allowed to go there or looking for a database connection string or whatever, using the global because application start, session start, and so on, and it's working with the DLL. Okay, you're the first user of this application. The first person who's connecting to your web server is starting the DLL, and then it's running the whole time Or sometimes it's closed also the application if no session anymore on the web server and the web server needs RAM because it goes to virtual memory. And so, okay, which application I can unload? There's no session. So an application start event is fired. Then he's creating in the web server your page. And also after application session start also is fired. He's creating the page and rendering it and make whatever on create or whatever the events and send back the HTML stuff to the browser. And now one of the most important thing is this destroying the page on the server. It's destroying the page, it's destroying to page, and it's destroying to page. And it's not choking me now, because that's the reason why you lose your variables. If you have in your form a variable under private, for example, and it's called ABC, and you put on create a value, and after destroying, it's away. So if you have to save this value, you must put it in a view state, or in a session variable or application variable or what is the best, whatever. Here. The police say, wow. That's very important. It's destroying the form. That's the most mistakes. Okay, then you go there, type in your hello in the text box, press a button, and in the button you have the sysbox items.add. It's a text box one. The DLL is running. It's creating, oh, that's bad. It's called create page. Seite is German. I haven't translated. It's recreated, it's created the page. Plain. Nothing. Make the process page events. That's, for example, okay, perhaps I have on text box changed something coded in. Then the button click with the list box items add. Perhaps I have some code in list box items changed. And then it's rendering again the HTML stuff. And sending back and destroying. How we can save the data in an automatic way there, because in my example, the list box items are not cleared. I come back in 1 minute. If the client is go away to www.borland.com or betteroffice.com or whatever, and you don't get a notification that he closed the browser, you can put a logout button on your application. That's fine, because then you clear your session variables. But if you're not, you have in a WAP config file a default value, it's 20 minutes. If the browser is not coming back, the session is deleting in an automatic way. And if you are the last user and the server needs RAM, then the application also is killed. Interesting is, you have a session end event in your global. What you can do, if you have a web shop, hey, session is gone away. Oh, you have some items in the basket. I save it in a blob file or whatever, in your database. If you're coming back and logging, hey, Daniel, you have some orders there. Do you like to order it now? Yes, 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 or yes, and perfect. So you can recreate the session variables. But the question is, I talked about that the form is destroying. How ASP.NET knows what are the last items, because when I go there and I say okie dokie, I have an E and I have a B or whatever, the A was not cleared and also what is running is 1, 2, 3, 5, 7. And you can go back and say, okay, I need here 555 or whatever, how it works. Because going back is going over the browser cache. You have no notification to the server, but the server knows what is on the WORM. Instead of IntraWeb, for example, who works with IntraWeb, a page was the instance running the whole time and synchronized everything on the web server. If you have 1,000 users now, you have 1,000 instances of this page. With ASP.NET you have not, because your page is destroyed. If I go back and you go in your source of the stuff, you see a view state variable. It's a encrypted value between the different of a new instance of the form and the values of your form. So if I go now there and say, okie dokie, I put some items, and look there now, I get a bit like longer fuse state. That's the delta between a new created form and your form. And this is submitted, if you go back to the server, the fuse state variables, and so you can, after create, you can also make the deltas between this form and can recreate all the other stuff. You can store also in the fuse state your own variables. You make a variable, it's called fuse state, brackets, a name of a variable, brackets close, it's an object, whatever you like. This object must be have a serializer to change in a text code. Serialize to make this. Okay, and if you go back, bom, 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 it's for the browser cache, you have now a different fuse state. So it's not important for the server, you have not to make the same synchronization, because you get this fuse state now and recreate only this one item of the list box. That's a tricky thing. So, yeah, this is for application variables, session variables, fuse state variables. In .NET, everything is an object, also a string, integer, or your database connection is an object. You can store everything. But in the fuse state, only with serialize. You say, okay, my application variable foo is my object. Application variables, every instance can access to this. User count, how many users on my web. Session variables, only the session of the browser, and fuse state going, is putting the data in the HTML stuff. So do not put the data over a fuse state in a fuse state variable. Because you have, if you have 1 million records, it's a big fuse state. And if you normally this, all the components are included in the fuse state. So if you don't need it, okay, this is now stupid. I say the fuse state, enable fuse state for the list box. I say false now. And so you can see that the last items are missed now. Because it's not in the fuse state. It disables the fuse state of the control. So for performance tuning, disable, for example, for such a set text box, it's not important if you go back to get the last value, disable it. Only for the controls, which is important to know, there's a fuse state created. So now we go to blah, 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 session variables, fuse state variables. There's also description again, what is, again, application start. And then you have this page events. There are some important page events. You worked a lot of with it. This is a page load. It's like your page create. But there's one event before. It's called page init. That's the event where the fuse state variables are used to create the page on the server, like your instance on your web browser. So you can be sure if you use your page load event, your list box is filled. If you want to manipulate before filling from the fuse state variables, go to page init. And then it's an event, it's called page pre-render. That's the last event before rendering in HTML and sending back. If you change something there, there's no chance anymore to change the list box. If you say in the pre-render list box items dot clear, you can have whatever you like in your fuse state, it's coming clear back. No. Okay, I go there. That's for other things. Let's talk about how ADO.NET is working. The people who work with ADO in the Win32 think, oh, it's the same. Yeah, they have three letters, the same ADO, that's all. ADO and ADO.NET have nothing to do. First, what is the ADO.NET provider? If you use a database, for example, your Firebird database, you have a Firebird.NET provider. You find, or if you use an Oracle or a SQL Server interface, you find everything a connection class or the connection component. Also included, you can find there your transaction. For us as interface in Firebird, we work a lot of this transaction. Go to your connection, you get a method. It's called start transaction. And you have a method, you can get back as a result a connection object. Now you can say on the connection object commit and or rollback or whatever. You have a command. The command component is the smallest thing you can communicate with the database, and it's high speeded. If you work with web application, whenever you can do, use a command component and not a data adapter. A data adapter is much more massive, because if you have a web application, not one user is working with it, thousands of users is working with it. A command, you cannot put the data over a small thing to put it in a grid or in a list box, because a command have only three standard executing methods. It's called first executing reader. Executing reader give you back a reader method. You can say only the method on the reader object read, like the next event. That's all. Like DB Express, the same. It's very only next, 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 next. It's called read, 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 read. You get back a Boolean result. If you have the end of file, you go back. You get back false. But it's the quickest way to communicate. You have a method. It's called execute none reader. Execute none query. It's for insert, update, delete statement. You can give it back an integer value, how many records are manipulated on the server. So if you say delete from customers where zip code is 12345 and 300, you get back 300 records are deleted. And then you have a method, it's called execute scalar. Execute scalar gives you back only from the first result record, the first column in a face of the object. It's very great for if you have a select count from employee and you get only one field, one record back. And then you say, okay, this execute scalar convert to integer. That's all. And you have an integer variable, a constraint variable. Then you have a data reader. I've said the command have this execute reader. You get this data reader back with the read command, and you say if you get want to have the value of the field customer number, you say this reader object bracket open hyphen field name hyphen bracket close to string or whatever. That's a data reader. The data adapter, it's a much more massive thing. It's first it have four commands. Have four commands objects inside. It's select, insert, update, delete command. Each of these commands can have its own connection. You can do the insert to other database than the select. I don't know an application who needs this, but why not? And all this stuff, each .NET provider needs these components minimum. There's one more, it's called command builder, we'll talk about later. If you go now and want to have, this is in WinForms and ASP.NET Web Forms, it's the same technique. One of the most important thing is, this is completely, hello, I want to have a, has nothing to do where you save, store your data. ADO.NET is a cached system. It means it's the same what we have since Delphi 3, client data set. So if you say in your application, WinForm or WebForm, select stuff from telephone book Praha, you get in this data set 3 million records. I don't know how many telephone calls are telephone members here. And yeah, that's a bad thing. But it's a bad developing bad developer who put 3 million records in a grid who reads it 3 million records. You don't call a call center and say, okay, start reading the telephone book from Praha. I say, stop. You have to make a good SQL statement. But it's pushing the data to the data set. It's like a client data set, but only with one more thing. It's not one table, you have a collection of tables. You cannot save in a data set only one, you can make many tables, but be careful with it, with your RAM. This table collection have items, tables, have rows, columns, and constraints between the tables for 1.n relations, and the data set is independent. Your .NET provider can fill a data set, but you can also read from an XML file with the XSD schema. You can create it, or you can transform your data to XML, put your database, fill the data set, and save to XML and save XML schema. Write XML schema. You have a complete XML file of your results with all the tables, with the constraints and whatever. That's really great thing. but you push the data in the data set every time. So if you make a change, like the client data set, you change your data set of the table, not to the database. So you have to send back the data to the database, like in the client data set, without with apply changes for that. And there's some different techniques now between the provider how to send back. We see it.